Our theme for 2026 is one word. It's advance.
And to advance means to move forward with purpose. Everybody's going to advance in some way, but when you can move forward with purpose, you make your life count. Everybody here wants to add value to other people. You want to contribute to your family. Wherever you go, you want to be a person that can lift the waterline on other people's lives. Everybody wants to advance in a meaningful way. The title of the message today is this: You Have Been Chosen. This is the big idea of the entire message. You have been chosen by God to fulfill a purpose that nobody else can, but only you can do it. Now, many of us here can relate to the storyline of wanting to live someone else's life. Is that true? I have. I wish I had the gifts of that person, or I could sing like him or her, or they had that ability. We look at others, and we kind of wish we were them. And, you know, the line goes, hey, be yourself, everybody else is taken. So the point is, God has chosen you. I want you to understand that. He has picked you, chosen you. You are preferred by him to fulfill a certain purpose that he wants you to live out. Now, our text today is taken from 1 Samuel. And here's the backdrop. Samuel is the prophet. God speaks to Samuel and says this: Saul will no longer be king, but I've picked somebody else. As a matter of fact, he says, I've chosen somebody else. I want you to go out to the household of Jesse. He's the father. And among Jesse's sons, you will find the next king. So, that's what Samuel did. Now, in your notes, let's read it together. Verse 1, chapter 16, it's in your notes. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Underline or circle the words chosen. I have chosen one to be the next king. I was reflecting on this passage yesterday and this morning, and I had this thought. God has chosen already the next pastor of this church. We just don't know who it is. As a matter of fact, he has been preparing that person for this next season of life. And so I'm going to pause for prayer. And you know what we as a body are going to pray for? Whoever that person is. Let's pray. Father, it's a sacred moment because we come before the throne of grace and this body of believers lifts faith to you that you have chosen, selected, identified who that person is. So on this date, March 1st, we pray you'll tap that person's heart and you'll begin a transition in their life that will lead them to this very church, to this very place. This is your church, not ours. And we believe that you are God and that you will find that person and bring them here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, Samuel goes to the household of Jesse because he knows that that's where the next king is at. Here's what I want to do. I want to share with you four thoughts about what happened in this text. I hope you can apply them to your life and make it personal. Number one, four insights from the story. Number one, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Read with me verses 6 and 7 in your notes. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Samuel comes across maybe the firstborn, Eliab, and he says, sure, this is the next king. And God says, no. And he gives this insight. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. In America, we are obsessed with looks. Beauty, we think strength, athleticism, and those things are important. But it says here that God does not gauge his calling on what a person looks like. And so here's what he does look for. He looks for a person's heart. He's looking for a certain kind of heart. He's looking for a surrendered heart. And so his eyes goes throughout the world. And the last verse says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So God is looking for a person, but he goes past the exterior. You know, there's the Taylor Swifts of the world. And there's these people that have an amazing outward persona of beauty. And I think looks and appearance are important, but understand they're not as important as what the heart is. So God's eyes range or run throughout the entire world, and he's looking for a certain kind of heart. Now, here's what he does when he finds one. He literally takes that life, and he steps into it, and he fulfills the call he has for them. He sees the potential of that life. And when there's an open door into their heart, it says he strengthens them going forward. Everybody here wants to be strengthened by God, but it starts with a heart that is surrendered, that is clean, and that God can come into and do a mighty work. If you're here seeking a miracle for yourself or somebody else, you know what it means? Hey, just give him your heart. Just surrender it. Say, God, here's my full life. Take it and do a mighty work. So we find here that point number one, God looks not at the outward appearance of what a person appears outwardly, but he looks at the person's heart. All right, number two, Samuel had to discern God's leading on which son to choose. This point is absolutely amazing to me. Read with me verses 8 through 11 in your notes. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, nor has the Lord chose this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. I want you to imagine with me. Seven sons are lined up. Samuel had the job of going before each one of them to discern which one would be king. I think that's an amazing assignment. How did he know which one was yes and which was a no? All right. I'm going to use a visual here, and I'm going to ask seven of our ladies to come on up right now. This is an amazing group of people. So, Abby, I want you to stand here, and then the rest of you can line up coming this way. All right, there we go. You know, I'm so proud of these girls. They're our future leaders. Let's give them a hand, shall we? So here's what happened. Jesse, the father, lined up seven of his sons. We're using girls. You know, the girls often outnumber the guys, don't they? You're amazing. All right. He lined them up, Jesse, the father. Samuel then comes along and he says, okay, Eliab, firstborn. Surely it's that one, the strong one, the tough one, the one that takes charge. That's what firstborns do. And God says, no, not that one. He then goes to the next one. What's his name, Abinadab? And he must have prayed over Abinadab and said, oh, is this the next king? Nope. Goes to the third one, Shammah, and prays and say, oh, is this the next king? No, that's not the one. And he goes all the way down the road for all seven of them. And the answer was no. Now, let me stop here. You and I face a lot of choices during our lifetime. Do we go to college? Do we work? Who we're going to marry? Do we take this career? Do we take that career? And you know what? We have like seven choices. Do you know how Samuel figured out which one was the king and which one wasn't? He spent a lot of time listening to the Father. You know what? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. They listen to me. I know them and they know me and they follow me. Great insight here. Listen, you want to know what choice God has for you when you have seven in front of you? It's called listening time in God's presence. I believe that Samuel had an upper room rhythm. What's that mean? He went to God probably in the morning. Said, God, here I am. Here's my heart. He spent time in God's presence, and he's dialed into the frequency of God. And then when he comes down to the lower room, that's where we live life, and he has to make a decision among seven choices. The only way Samuel could figure that out is because he was listening to God the Father in the upper room. If you're here today and you got a big decision to make, can I tell you? Here's the formula. It's pretty simple. How much listening time do you have in God the Father's presence for him to show you which of the seven choices he wants you to make? If we don't have listening time, you know what we do? We decide it ourselves. We do, don't we? But when we have the Spirit of God leading us like Samuel did, he went through seven. And God said, none of them. Now, here's the amazing part. He then gets to the seventh one. This is Hannah. And he turns to Jesse and he says, Jesse, do you have any other sons? This doesn't make sense. I'm shocked. I went through seven and none of those are the king. And Jesse says, yes, I have one more. Where is he? He's out tending sheep. All right. I'm going to ask David, that's his name, to come on up. Right down there. He had eight sons. The way Samuel discerned God's voice and he knew who not to pick and who to pick was because he had amazing listening time in God's presence. And God instructed him. You see, my sheep hear my voice. They listen, and I know them, and they follow me. All right, that's the great principle. Okay, that's point number two. Now we get to point number three. I'm going to have these ladies up here, stay up here for a couple more minutes. Number three, God sees the potential in people even when others do not. God sees the potential. And let's read this together. Hang in there, ladies. All right. Let's read verses 11 and 12. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for them. We will not sit down until he arrives. So we sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy and with fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. Okay, let me stop here. David, the youngest, was not even in the lineup. He was the runt. He was the youngest. The strength was in the first seven. You see, even parents, and I say this cautiously and respectfully, may not see the potential in our own kids. Friends and teachers may not see our potential, but God does. You may be here today and you've been overlooked. You've been discounted. People didn't think a whole lot of you for whatever reason. Could be the way you're brought up. Could be your parents. Could be a broken home. Could be all kinds of things. And you just feel like you've never been valued. I was up at the jail Friday using the same material. And I asked him, how many here feel like they've been overlooked? Had some hands go up. Even people here, you may be sitting here and you know, you feel like you've been overlooked your entire life. Other people may overlook you, but God sees your potential. And he sees what's in you. You know what potential is? It's not what you've accomplished. It's what you're yet capable of doing. That's potential. And so Samuel goes through seven of them. Seven times. And then he says, is there anybody else? Oh, yeah, David. He's out tending the sheep. He didn't count. He didn't even get in the lineup. Samuel says, go get him. Don't even sit down until he gets here. So they get David in there. He goes before David, and God says, he is the one. Rise and anoint him. I want to stop right there. You are chosen. You are called for a purpose. And if you feel like you've been discounted your entire life, overlooked, let me tell you, God has a different storyline for you. He says, there's something in you. I want you to live it out. I'm going to call it out. And he wants you to follow that to become what he has purposed for you to advance in this year and in the years to come. Quick story, different one. It's in the book of Judges. Gideon is a thresher of wheat. He's a farmer. And the angel of the Lord appears to him. In the Old Testament, that's Jesus. And he says, the angel of the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He called Gideon a mighty warrior. Gideon did not believe it. He says, I am the weakest and the least in my family. You have got the wrong guy. But Jesus saw something in him he didn't even see in himself. You're here today. Listen, God sees something in you that nobody else sees, and it's your calling, and he's chosen you for that. Deb, somebody get a picture of these ladies up here, because I want it later. So I'll keep talking until somebody takes a picture. You can get one too, Judy. Isn't this a good-looking group? Very good. These are our future leaders. So I want you to give them all a hand, shall we? Let's think. All right, sit down. So these are some of the kids that pray on Wednesday morning before they go to school. Isn't that cool? They meet here at the church. They have prayer for the other students. And they're going to be the influencers at Walton Central School for years to come and make a difference and bring other people. So thank you, ladies. All right. So potential. God sees stuff that nobody else sees. David was a great example. He was the smallest, the youngest, the runt. But he was one that God chose to live out a certain purpose. Okay, let's go to number four. God chose David as the next king, and God has chosen you for a specific purpose. Read with me verse 13 in your notes. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. So Samuel anointed David. And from that day on, the Spirit came upon him in power, and he lived an amazing life. And so the same is true for us. When we get in line with what God has called us to do, let me tell you, amazing things happen, and we live a life of fulfillment. So four simple insights from the story. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Samuel had to discern God's leading on which son to choose. It's called listening time. Make sure you build quality listening time into your daily and weekly rhythm before God. You can then discern which of the seven or the choices you have to make. He'll tell you which one's best for you. Number three, God sees your potential even when others don't. There's something buried inside each of us. Number four, God chose David as the next king, and he's chosen you for a purpose. I'm going to wrap up, then we're going to have Pastor Jack come and share in communion. This is my big memento from Togo. We were in a shop, and Mike Reinen, the Africa area director, we were looking at wooden things and pottery and different things. This was hanging on the wall. He took out his phone and he looked up what the symbol meant. And the name of it is called Gaia Naomi. Gaia Naomi. That's what this means. And so I just had to buy this because here's what it means. Accept for God. Accept for God. Now let me explain that. There are certain things you can only explain in life except for God. God only. It's His hand. You know, the Togo trip I told you before, that was like an accept for God experience for me and Pastor Jack. It's like, I couldn't explain that. 6 months ago, I wouldn't have even said I'd be going. And the pastor to missionary thing, that just kind of came my way. Except for God. Now, here's the reason I share that. When you and I offer our hearts, then what happens is we will experience except for God moments. The only way you can explain it is because God is doing a deep work in your heart. And I want to share a slide that I ended the service with last week. Darlene put it up. At any moment, God can shift you from waiting on it to walking in it. So keep trusting Him. Let me explain that. God brings us to a place where we start to walk in something new. We've been praying for it, trusting in it, and all of a sudden there's a change where we start walking in it. God is calling each of us individually as we think of this 2026 advance year. He's calling us to walk in it. And this phrase, which is means only accept for God, is the explanation. Now, we're going to pray in a little bit, but here I have to make this statement. Some of you came into this church service as a shepherd. You're just working a regular job. You feel ordinary. Life is what it is. You feel like you're a shepherd. Do I really value much? Well, I got a job, I got a paycheck. Life's about to change. David was a shepherd. He has the God encounter of a call on his life, and all of a sudden, he's up to be a king. He's up to be a queen. God can step into your life when he sees a surrendered heart. Literally do something for you you cannot do for yourself, and it's an accept for God moment. And I believe that as we pray in a few moments, God wants to do something in people's hearts as you offer Him yours. That's what He's looking for, a surrendered heart, that He is calling out from some of you here today something totally new that He wants you to walk in, that you've kind of had stirrings of it. Maybe not. Maybe it's totally new. But like David, he went from a shepherd boy to being a king. God has a call on your life to take you where you're at and to lift you to a whole nother level. And it can only be explained except for God. It's the only way to explain it. It's an encounter with Him. That may be you. That's what God does. And when we walk in it, let me tell you, life changes and we are incredibly blessed. All right, I'm going to pray. Bow your heads with me. I want you to take a few moments. Present your heart to God. To God, here it is. God's looking for a heart that's available. He's looking, He wants to do a miracle in your life. So just give it to Him right now. Surrender. Say, God, I'm going to believe You for an accept for God moment. Father, it's a holy moment because You are calling out a deeper calling in people's lives. And they may not even know it's there. They're a David who's going to be a king. They're a Gideon who's going to be a mighty warrior. I pray You'll stir hearts and You'll call it out in this very moment. And for those that came in as shepherds, they're going to leave as a king or a queen because You chose them. I did this at the first service, and I want to do it for the second. If your heart is available to God, for Him to do an accept for God work, whatever that is, you're just available to serve Him, I'm going to ask you to be bold, and I'm going to ask you to stand up, and then I'll have a final prayer, and Pastor Jack will come right now. If anybody is there, say, God, here's my heart. I want you to stand up. Father, look at these hearts. They're looking for a God encounter today. And I pray that from this moment forward, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon them in such a way that their hearts and lives will take on a whole new pathway, except for God. Bless them, protect them, anoint them, use them, go before them. And we just commit ourselves to Your purposes so that we can advance to move forward with purpose and meaning in 2006. Oh God, be our God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.